Thank you for your truth again, and we pray that you would continue to instruct us in this area, to be able to think your way, and to be able to encourage others to do the same. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. What do you have before you? Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Why will we need to see the whole passage of Scripture? Context, okay? We're going to do some observation today. The first, let me write this down. This is just repetition so that you eventually get it down. Repetition's the way we learn and remember. But the three general steps to Bible study . First one is observation. Observation answers the question, what does it say? Or you might say, what is here? Okay? Most people ignore this almost completely, and it gets them in trouble because they jump to here. Interpretation is, what does it mean? Okay? Completely different, because if you get this wrong, this will be wrong. If you get observation wrong, interpretation will be wrong. And most people don't take the time and say, is that what is really there? What does it really say, and what does it not say? Okay? Application is, what does it mean to me? Or how do I live this? Okay? So those are the three points, and I'll tell you those every now and then, just so that you remember. But observation, interpretation, application. What we're wanting to spend the majority of time on today is observation. We're wanting to make observations about what is there. What does it say? Okay? And then you can take notes. Obviously, the primary verse that we're looking at today, because we're looking at men being over their homes, but children honoring their parents and obeying their parents. We're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks. There's just so much. I'm overwhelmed by this study as well, but you'll get more of that starting next week. But notice verse 12. Let's read it out loud together from your notes here. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, what I want to encourage you to do now is to make observations. What do you see here? What does it say? What are things that you can say about this verse or this passage? Not, what does it mean? Nearly as much as what it says. Because there's things here that you can observe that help you understand its meaning. Okay? I'm just going to throw it out to the floor right now. And maybe I'm not asking the right questions again like this morning. Okay? Lynn makes an observation. Verse 12 contains a promise. That's a good observation. It contains a promise. Can anyone piggyback on that? Okay. Contains a promise. The promise is contingent. In other words, it's conditional. So it's contingent upon honoring parents. What else? Since we're in the promise area here, what else can you say? And look at the whole context about a promise. Pains of promise contingent upon honoring. What else? Okay, let me set you up. Go ahead, Ted. Okay, it's from God to us. Let me ask you one more with regard to the promise. Which other commands have promises? That's another part of the observation. You're comparing and all of that. Right. No other commands in these Ten Commandments. No other commands contain a promise. All right. Does that make sense? That's observation. You're looking. That you can't tell that by looking at the verse, can you? That no other command has that. You have to look at the context. Okay? What else can you say? Ted said it's from God to us. These are direct commands. These you must do. Now, there's arguments whether or not the Ten Commandments apply today. But every one of them is repeated in the New Testament but one. Okay, it's a positive command. That's good. Positive command. It's something do. Yeah, instead of do not. What else? More observations about any part of this. It has to ultimately, we're looking at verse 12, so it has to somehow tie into verse 12. Whether it's something general like Ted said, from God to us, that's true of all of them, but it's also true of that one. Okay? So it relates to that. Or specifically like the promise, which when you're talking about a promise, the only one that has one, it's contingent. It's not an unconditional promise. How many commands are there? Let me restate. How many commands are in the Ten Commandments? 10, right? Let's back up a little. There's 10 commandments. It happens to be one of them, so that's an observation. All right? Ten Commandments. What else? They're in two parts. Right? Okay. So the first commandments, how many are there? The first ones that relate to God. Try it again. Try it again. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. That would be number 1. You might want to number them on the left side. You should not make for yourself a carved image. Number two, in the first four, it goes on and gives more detail in verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 7 is what? The name of God, name of the Lord. You can't take it in vain. And then we would tie in the fourth command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is probably related directly to God as well. Because it basically has to do with relating to God. The Sabbath day is given to relate to God. It causes us to stop, rest, and reflect. So how many commands are relating to God? Four. Okay, now I don't know how old I was. Probably 40 before I realized it wasn't 50-50. Okay, I don't know why. I just assumed it was half. Okay? But it's not. Okay? Though all of these obviously relate to God directly or indirectly. Okay, so all the way down to verse 11 is, remember, verses 8 through 11 is comments on, remember, the Sabbath day. We teach the kids on Wednesdays a song that summarizes these. It's word for word for the most part, except for the covet part. But we call them God's tender commandments. Ethan, did you learn those when you were learning that song, or was that after you were in FWAP? Okay, I won't have you sing it to us then. I'll sing it to you. It goes like this. I won't do the motions. It goes like this. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We sing this every Wednesday. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. Doesn't that sound cool? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. And then we just summarize. Nothing shall you covet. These are God's commandments. God's tender commandments. So kids grow up and never learn the Ten Commandments, so we said, not here. Okay, they're going to learn them, and they enjoy it. So, okay, so commandments 1 through 4 are verses 3 through 11, and then you have commandments, what would be the rest then? 6 through 10, right? Much more briefly given. Make some more observations then. We've split them into two parts. There's the God part, the first four. There's the man part, which I suppose you can almost argue that the Sabbath is part of the man part, because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So I suppose that's the fuzzy one. What could you observe? If we make it, it's the first four are about God. The last six are about man. By the way, Jesus was asked, which is the great commandment? In Matthew 22, he summarized the entire Old Testament in two commands. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto the first. He summarized the first four commands as you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So you can summarize the whole Old Testament. You can say, I basically have the essence of the Old Testament memorized. And people go like, you do? Yeah. Love God, love people. Ta-da! All right? I mean, Jesus summarized it. Go ahead, Joel.
First and the last.
It's the first command in the people set. Okay, you got that? Love or honor your father and mother is the first command in the people set. Is order important? Oh, yeah. You just say that because I asked that question, right? Prove it. Yes or no? No, you don't need proof. That's easier. Or yes, prove it. Order is important. It's important because, why? Okay. Genesis, okay. Order in Genesis. That's not a very strong proof in this passage, though. Order's important in some passages. How do we know it's important in this passage? Maybe that's a better question to ask. Order in Genesis. You know, Adam was first created than Eve, so that's important. That actually establishes something. God meant it to be that way because... What about this passage? What did we just talk about? The first four have to do with God. So it seems like it's establishing an order of sorts. Agreed? Yep. And I'm saying that's true. We can go back to Genesis. But I'm saying that's a general argument for order, which I'm not arguing against. I'm just saying it's not the strongest argument here. We could say, well, they're just randomly given by God. But we say no, because he put himself where? First. So God's commands, if you will, commands about God. That doesn't sound right. But God's commands are listed first. Okay, why? Because God comes first. Okay, so there's an order here. And notice even what he says in the order. There seems to be an order, a hierarchy within there. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. That even has precedence before you. You shall not make a carved image. Because if you get this right, then it goes down. Okay, now, you can't have any other god than me. And then, oh, by the way, you can't even make an image of me. And by the way, you can't even talk using my name in a wrong way. So there's a hierarchy even within that list. And remember, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, is kind of a habit to keep you rightly focused on God. And God said one day out of seven is intended for you to stop whatever you do and focus on me, he says. Okay? So there's an order even within God commands first, an order within the first four, okay? There's a logical order there, okay? What else? Excellent observations. You're doing outstanding work here. Some good Bible study going on. Judy. Okay, there seems, it's the most basic human relationship, right? It starts in the home. It starts with your parents, right? So let's go back to first a sec. What would that potentially say about this? And Judy's kind of aiming that direction. Of all of the commands in the human level, there seems to be is there a hierarchy within the people relationship commands, the last six? Look at them. Okay. Unless I'm not tearing things up, I'm taking this podium, folding the podium up again so people can read it. He thinks he's busting stuff up or something. But is there a hierarchy? It's amazing, but the first one is honor your father and mother, and then you shall not murder. If there's a hierarchy, and it seems to be, and I'll tell you a little bit more in a minute or two about this, which is the most important? It doesn't mean that you can't pick and you're not allowed to pick and choose, but there seems to be establishing an order that this is the most foundational truth of all with regard to the human relationship. Okay? And that has to do with honoring your parents. That's more important than not killing people, though you're not supposed to kill people either. It's more important than not committing adultery, though you're not supposed to do that either. Joel?
And your parents are the ones that teach you a lot of the following commandments.
The parents teach you a lot of the following commandments on the former commandments, and a lot more than just the tenor of summary, right? You understand that, right? There's over 600 commands in the Old Testament. So when you memorize the 10, you're getting there. But they're summary statements, right? But yeah, your parents lay the foundation for everything else. There's logic when you stop and think, why would this be that important? Your parents hugely impact what you know and what you do. You still end up making your own choice, but they're critical as far as understanding things correctly, okay? Right. 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 That's kind of getting more into what does it mean to honor in that way. So we'll probably pick that baton up. Well, we will later, but not today. We honor our parents by doing things that the way they taught us and the way they pleased them, for sure. What else? What's another observation here? Let's. I'm not looking at the first four right now, but what can you say about five, six, and seven? Elsewhere in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. What about 6 and 7?
You were given the death penalty.
Do you understand that these three are capital offenses? What do I mean by capital offenses? If you commit adultery, you were put to death. If you murdered somebody, you were put to death. But guess what? If you dishonored your parents, what happened to you? It is that big of a deal. These are capital crimes. And I honestly believe we do not understand what it means to honor our parents or the weight at which God assigns to that. And the teachers that are going to be listening to this, the point of your lesson will be how important God sees in honoring your parents. It's first, and it seems to be a greater crime than murder or adultery. And again, that's not justifying murder or adultery. But because of the order, it's even bigger than murder. Positively. Now we'll look into this a little more as we get into some illustrations in the Old Testament. Okay, but the law, if you will, the Old Testament goes on to explain if you murder somebody, these are the conditions. If you shed a man's blood, it doesn't even, in the Old Testament, it didn't even matter if it was an accident. You destroy the image of God, and therefore you could be put to death by the relative. The only opportunity God gave was that even if it was an accident, you could flee to what was known as a city of what? Refuge. And if it wasn't an accident, they'd turn you out. okay, to the avenger of blood, they call it, that your relative that had the right to take your life. In fact, even probably in the Old Testament, the responsibility to take your life, because God commanded that back in Genesis 9. Okay, he had the right, but also the responsibility to do that. But even if it was an accident, you had to remain in that city. You had to completely alter your life. You had to remain in that city. There was a city, kind of a mercy for you, that if it was an accident, they investigated and found out it was an accident, you were able to live as long as you stayed within the borders of that city. Until when? The high priest died. And what if the high priest lived 40 more years? You didn't leave, because as soon as you left, the avenger of blood could still take your life and was not wrong in doing so. Why? Because you destroyed the image of God, ultimately, is what God says. Okay? It doesn't matter why at that point. So, again, what does that say about abortion and things like that? It's huge ramifications there. Okay? But the top three are capital offenses. In other words, capital offenses. I think that's the right capital there. In other words, you could be put to death for all three of those in Scripture. Where the others, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and covetousness. There was different levels of punishment. But I don't believe any of those were capital crimes. Except if you were bearing false witness against someone that would have resulted in their death, that was your punishment for bearing false witness against them. So I suppose you could say that. But you were just getting what you were trying to get someone else by lying. So it's not really a capital offense per se. Okay? But huge. It's first, it's the most basic, it's the most important of the human relationships, and it's actually the top capital offense in the Old Testament. If order means anything, okay? Other observations. Can I share something here? Because I've heard arguments about, well, we don't live in the Old Testament. Folks, we don't live in the Old Testament. I know that. But what does it say about God and how he feels? We don't drag people out and stone our sons, right? I mean, we'll maybe look at some of that next week. But at the very least, you can take away from the Old Testament is how big of a deal God thought it was to obey your parents. And that is inarguable. You can't sit there and say that at least isn't true from the Old Testament. You can understand how big of a deal it was to God that you committed adultery. Even if we don't put people to death today because of adultery, you can understand the heart of God and understanding how big deal it was for you to do that or to murder. You can carry that over. Regardless of what your laws are today in your culture, in which you live, you can understand how big of a deal it was that you obeyed and honored your parents. In fact, I don't have it today, but they stood across. There were two groups of Israelites, and one read the blessings and one read the cursings. They each stood on the face of a mountain and read them back and forth, but one of them was, "Cursed is the one who does not revere their parents." I mean, it's not a light statement. It's a huge thing to God. I mean, it's in between having other gods and committing adultery. It's, you know, in the curses there. It's that big of a deal. And I think we honestly need to make it that big of a deal when we're training our kids, whether we're in a Sunday school class, training kids, or reminding kids that we have influence over, that, you know what, God sees how you honor your parents in a massively huge way. So don't treat your parents lightly. Okay? Observations. More observations? Right. That is true, and I think it shows, at the very least, the nature of God, okay? I'll put the nature of God. So we don't offer lambs now, right? So things change, but even then you could say, well, that's because the lamb has been offered. Right, the lamb has been offered, so there's reasons for it. But we don't keep everything. We don't worship on Friday night to Saturday night, for example. We don't remember the Sabbath that way. Though I think when Pastor Sean gets done with this four-week series on the Sabbath, probably beginning about mid-August, I think it'll be something you'll consider, not as a legalistic thing, but God created the Sabbath for man, not just for the Jews, though specifically for the Jews, but also for man, because the Sabbath existed well before there ever was a Jew, right? Right? There were just a he and a she at that point. So, other observations? Look at the verse itself. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Judy. Well, at least it may involve not just when you're younger. So, you know, this the land and ongoing indicate lifelong honoring. And I would say that regardless of whether that phrase does or not, the Bible teaches lifelong honoring. But that's very possible, Judy. Good observation. What about the first part? That your days may be long. What is the nature of the promise? It's a long life. And what type of promise is that then? I'm trying to think of a way to ask it without giving you the answer. In what realm does the promise relate? Yeah, it's this life. It's a temporal promise. Listen, there's some promises that you will only receive after you die, right? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, right? You know, I don't have a mansion now. In fact, at times I get pretty disgusted with the little dwelling that I do have, okay? All right? But that's in the sweet by and by, to quote another hymn, okay? There's some promises of the sweet by and by. This relates to now. Okay? The promise has to do with this life, the temporal, and if you will, it's a more direct payoff. There's a lot of stuff that you have to take by faith in this life that God will reward you later on. Like Abraham, how about Moses? Turn to Hebrews 11 so I can show it to you. Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11. Verse 24. Verses 24, 25, and 26 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Big deal. What's the big deal about that? Who's Pharaoh? Pharaoh was the mightiest ruler of the day, of the biggest empire of the day, the richest person of the day, the most powerful of the day. Moses was turning his back on all of that. It is not unlikely that Moses would have been the next Pharaoh. He had position, he had sway, he had probably all the pleasure he wanted. In fact, the Bible seems to infer that here. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of what? Sin. He had everything he wanted when he wanted it, all of that. Not to mention all the education and money and all of that that he had, the power, the prestige. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. That was a choice of faith. That's long-term looking after life to the next life. This promise that your days may be long on the land that the Lord God gives you is this life. It's more immediate payoff. Okay, you get it now in this life rather than in the life to come. So it's a promise that's, it's like saying, you could say, okay, son, you be good, and when you turn 18, I'll buy you a car. And your son's 5. Okay. Or you could say, son, if you're really good this afternoon, I'm going to take you out for an ice cream cone. Which one would have more impact on him? I mean, right now, frankly, the ice cream would probably beat the car right now. Anyway, for me, okay. But I'm saying one's a more immediate payoff. It directly relates to you right now. That your days may be long. It goes on in more detail in Ephesians, and we're not observing Ephesians right now. It's actually stated over and over in Scripture, this promise. But it may be what? We have a song that we sing on Wednesday nights for the kids too. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it quotes this passage, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Lynn knew that, so. That it may be what? Well with you. So it has to do with quality of life as well as, what's the other key word? Quantity of life. So it impacts not only how long you live, but how you live. Okay, we'll be more in that later. But it's a more direct promise. It's a direct promise for this life. It's a more immediate payoff. You want a better life and a longer life? Do what? Honor God. Well, yes. How? By honoring your parents. You cannot, listen, unless what your parents are asking you to do is against what God has commanded, you cannot honor God unless you honor your parents. Those are not in opposition with one another. They're aligned with each other. You cannot obey God by disobeying your parents. You cannot honor God by dishonoring your parents unless, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to have a section of our study in this, unless God is commanding you to do something and your parents are against that or something like that. Okay? We'll get there. Other observations?
Is this a promise for believers, or is it just people in general?
Joe asks, is this a promise to believers or people in general?
I
think it's everyone. I personally believe it's a general promise that God tied into life in general, not if you're a believer and you obey your parents, you'll live longer. I believe an unsaved person who honors their parents will have a better life than a person who doesn't honor their parents. And I believe they'll have a longer life than if they hadn't. Ted, you had something to say. Yep, both parents. Excellent observation, Ian. See that? It's gender, one of each, so it underscores the idea of what marriage has been since Genesis. So very good there. But also, it's both of them, not just one. Anyone here, it was easier to finagle your mom rather than your dad or vice versa, you know what I mean? Something like that. Yeah. So my mom never spanked hard. But you didn't want to not cry. Because then she would say, okay, your dad can handle it when he gets home. You didn't want dad to handle it. You know what I mean? Because dad could handle it. And he hurt when he spanked, okay? All right? But the idea is there, it's both parents. Not just your father, not just your mother, but both parents. So excellent observation again. All right? Is this not very big, Marv? You have something?
My father and mother are neither one. Neither
of them laid a hand on you?
I resented it.
You resented it. So you're saying that because they didn't, it didn't really teach you to follow them and it made it actually harder?
No, he would just holler at me, always holler at me. Come out and do your job. Mom, she never did. Never did.
So he didn't really reinforce with the, how is it, the Board of Education?
She just stayed with me too much.
Yeah. He was spoiled. Is he still spoiled?
I
mean,
I was a brat.
Well, the Bible says, you know, if you don't discipline your children, if you discipline your children, you deliver their soul from hell, the Bible says. I mean, it's that critical. I probably, for every one of us, including my own children, will probably say, you know what? There's some things that I like what my parents did, but I think I could do better. <You know? laughs> Maybe that's part of it. Right. Give them everything you want isn't really giving them what they need, is it?
He gave her gave the old one a TV one time for Christmas, and she picked up the thing and threw it down the floor.
They would find out what they asked for.
She didn't want it. She wanted attention.
Yeah.
Attention.
Yep, and that's what the Bible expects.
Still that way.
Yeah.
He still does that.
God knows what he's talking about, didn't he, Marv? Okay, let's wrap up for today. If you have questions about this or the Sunday sermon, we're going to just take a few minutes of Q&A to help. We're going over some pretty heavy stuff, so we just want to give that an opportunity. But the kids will get this next week, okay? They're actually going over what we talked about today, or last week today, as far as the dad's ahead of the home, not just the mom, and also the idea that you're under your parents until you get married. That's the two main concepts of today. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll meet you in the auditorium if you choose to help be there with us there. So